Swami Prabhupada ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripada Acharya Astavakar Sita Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Kijaya Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Kijaya Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhaktavrinda Kijaya. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Kijaya. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samleta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Itai Gaur Premanande Adenipo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16. Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. Text 4. Esha,
Esha,
Dharma Pritam,
Dharma Pritam,
Shresta,
Shresta,
Lokam,
Lokam,
Dharme,
Dharme,
Anuvartayan,
Anuvartayan,
Bhokta,
Bhokta,
Cha,
Cha,
Dharma Setunam,
Dharma Setunam,
Shasta,
Shasta,
Tat,
Tat,
Paripantinam. Esha Dharma Pratam Shresto.
Esha Dharma Pratam Shresto.
Lokam Dharme Nuvartayan.
Lokam Dharme Nuvartayan.
Gopta Cha Dharma Setunam. Shasta tat paripantinam.
Shasta
Esha Dharma Vritam Shresto.
Esha Dharma Vritam Shresto.
Lokam Dharme Nuvartayan.
Lokam Dharme Nuvartayan.
Gopta Cha Dharma Setunam.
Gopta Cha Dharma Setunam.
Vishasatatparipantinam
Esha
Dharma Vritam Shresto Lokam Dharme Nivarshayan Gopcha Dharma Setunam
Esha Dharma Vritam Shresta
Esha Dharma Vritam Shresta
Lokam Dharmenu Vartayan
Lokam Dharmenu Vartayan
Gosa Cha Dharma Sinduna
Gosa Cha Dharma Sinduna
Shasta Tat Paripantina
Shasta Tat Paripantina
Esha Dharma
Vritam Shresta
Lokam Dharme Nivartayan
Lokam Dharme Nivartayan
Gopcha Dharma Setunam
Gopcha Dharma Setunam
Shasta Tat Paripantinam
Shasta Tat Paripantinam
Esha Dharma
Vritam Shresta
Executing religious activities. Shresta, the best. Lokam,
the whole world.
Dharme,
in religious activities.
Anuvartayan,
engaging them properly.
Gopta,
the protector.
Cha,
also.
Dharmasetunam,
of the principles of religion.
Shasta,
the chastiser.
Tat Paripantinam, of those who are against religious principles. Translation. This king, Maharaj Prithu, is the best amongst those who are following religious principles. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic. Please repeat. This king, Maharaj Prithu, is the best
among those who are following
religious principles. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic.
Srila Prabhupada. The duty of the king or the head of the government is described very nicely in this verse. It is the duty of the governmental head to see that people strictly follow the religious life. A king should also be strict in chastising the atheists. In other words, an atheistic or godless government should never be supported by a king or governmental chief. That is the test of good government. In the name of secular government, the king or governmental head remains neutral and allows people to engage in all sorts of irreligious activities. In such a state, people cannot be happy, despite all economic development. However, in this age of Kali, there are no pious kings. Instead, rogues and thieves are elected to head the government. But how can the people be happy without religion and God consciousness? The rogues exact taxes from the citizens for their own sense enjoyment. And in the future, the people will be so much harassed that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they will flee from their homes and country and take shelter in the forest. However, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna-conscious people. If this can be done, the general populace can be made very happy. Translation again. This king, Maharaj Prithu, is the best among those who are following religious principles. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic. Hare Krishna. It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure for me to be with you here in this most divine place. We are reading about King Prithu and how he will expertly perform the duties of king by upholding the principles of Dharma personally and engaging others in Dharma. And he will chastise those who are opposed to Dharma. Later, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read the story of the king and his wife who left the kingdom to enter the stage of Vanaprastha. And within the forest, at a certain time, the king, retired king, left his body. And his widow lamented his departure. And she cried that now that you are gone, who will give protection to the kingdom? In your absence, rogues and thieves will become common. And she prepared to give up her own life by entering the funeral pyre of her husband. Srila Prabhupada, following the previous acharyas, explains that figuratively the king is the spiritual master, and the wife is the disciple of the spiritual master. And just as the widow lamented when her husband left, similarly the disciple should weep in separation when his spiritual master weeps. Now the queens being ready to enter into the funeral pyre indicates that the disciple should be ready to lay down his life for the service of the spiritual master. Or in other words, if the disciple is unable to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he should rather die. Now, when the queen was lamenting and ready to give up her life, a Brahmin appeared and explained that he was an old friend of her husband and that they had been together for a very long time. And he came to give her some instruction. And we are in that position now in relation to Srila Prabhupada, in the sense that he has left us physically, and bereft of his personal association, we need to know how to proceed. So the Brahmin appeared when the queen was ready to give up her life. And similarly, the super soul or representative of the super soul will appear to us when we also are ready to give up our lives, or not give up our lives, but offer our lives in service to the spiritual master and his mission. So the king and the spiritual master and the servants of the spiritual master have similar functions. They personally follow religious principles. They engage others in following religious principles. And they distinguish between religion and irreligion. And they, in order to protect the religious principles, they have to point out what are irreligious principles and distinguish between them. Now this process takes place on a large scale, macrocosm, outside of us. But it also needs to take place on a microcosmic scale within us. Lord Chaitanya, in his instructions to Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, has compared bhakti to a creeper, bhakti lata bīj, that is received by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And he advises that we should become malis, gardeners. This is actually a good place for cultivating plants. We should become a mali, a gardener, and plant the seed of bhakti that we've received from by the mercy of Guru and Krishna within our hearts. And we should water the seed by chanting and hearing about Krishna. But it may happen, it does happen, that in the process of watering the bhakti lata, devotional creeper, upasakas, or unwanted creepers or weeds, also sprout up. And we have to distinguish between the devotional creeper and the weeds. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that sometimes the weeds can appear to be of the exact same variety as the devotional creeper. In other words, Maya is so subtle that we may think that something is bhakti, which is not actually bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that these weeds, which are in broad terms material desires or desires for impersonal liberation, they're unlimited. But he mentions a few prominent ones whose love of pratista, that means desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. And nishidachar, behavior that is inappropriate for devotees. Jiva himsa, which is envy of other living entities or violence towards other living entities. Now, jiva, the living entity, the life of the living entity is devotional service. And if someone is deprived of the opportunity to engage in devotional service, that is, doing violence to the living entity, and in a way it's envy. And so Srila Prabhupada explains that jiva himsa means the stopping of the preaching of Krishna consciousness. We're actually doing violence to other living entities by depriving them of their real life. So we have to be vigilant, like King Prithu. What is dharma and what is adharma? And water the creeper and also pull out the weeds. And that can be painful, but we have to do it. It's for our benefit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explained that apart from weeds, there is another danger to one's bhakti lata, and that is the hathi mata, the maddened elephant. One can have a very nicely organized and cultivated garden, but if a maddened elephant comes in, he can uproot all the plants and completely destroy the garden in no time at all. So what is that mad elephant? That is Vaishnavapura. They have to be extremely careful to avoid Vaishnavapura. And how do we protect the garden? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that we have to fence it on all sides so that the mad elephant of offense cannot enter. And the fencing is the circle of pure devotees. We have to stay within the circle of pure devotees. If we stray outside, then by bad association we can commit that most grievous of offenses, Vaishnavapura. So Srila Prabhupada formed ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give that association of pure devotees so that we can remain safe in our spiritual lives, and then from that position of strength engage others in spiritual life and devotional service. Now, as you know, King Prithu appeared to fill the vacuum that was created when King Vena, who was a very demonic character, was deposed by the Brahmins. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, the saintly devotees who are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam have explained the defects in the character of King Vena for our instruction. And this is a very subtle point for us in positions of authority in the society or even in the family. The parents are authorities for the children. How to give not only set the proper example, but give proper instruction. And although in general we don't want to speak negatively about other people, I mentioned this in Vrindavan, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that for the sake of instructing students, the teacher may have to cite a negative example so that he understands properly. And that was done by here in Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to King Vena. Shukadeva Goswami Mahabhagavata, even he commented on different persons who committed offenses and suffered, so that we're aware of not only what to do but what not to do. Now, so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has wrote a series of essays that has been collected under the name of Bhakti Loka. And in Bhakti Loka, he discusses the Sadvi Bhakti Vinashati, the six items that spoil one's devotional service, and Sadvi Bhakti Pristidati, the six items that are favorable to devotional service and nourish devotional service. And one of the unfavorable items is prajalpa. Prajalpa means unnecessary talks. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions different categories of unnecessary talks. And there are many. But the one that I will highlight now is talking about others. Blaspheming devotees. And that is most dangerous and most damaging. And he says that one should not speak about others, that we have that tendency, but we have to control it. This book, Bhakti Loka, is especially meant for sadhakas, practitioners. So we here are in sadhakas, so these instructions are meant for us. So we should be very careful not to speak about others. Of course, we can glorify Krishna and his devotees, but we should be very careful not to criticize them or see faults in them, especially if the faults don't exist. But after giving this very thorough, comprehensive, detailed analysis of how bad it is to speak about others, Bhakti says, if one is in a situation where one feels he has to speak about others, it is better to remain silent. In other words, no loopholes. But then he says that sometimes, even in a spiritual organization, one may have to speak about others within the organization who are not acting in ways befitting of the organization. Now, this is not, I mean, someone might think, oh, well, here's the loophole. this is great, you know. I can live with this. This is fantastic. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one does speak about others while under the influence of devotional impediments, such as envy, pride, hatred for pratishta, the desire for a position, then one commits an offense at the feet of Bhakti Devi. So this is a very important warning that we can, for the sake of the institution, for the sake of the members of the institution, point out the defects even of a member of the institution. But if one does so being influenced by devotional impediments such as envy, pride, hatred, or distinction, one commits an offense at the feet of Bhakti Devi. Now, this warning will make us introspective. That before I speak about someone, am I doing so under the influence of envy or pride or hatred or the desire to increase my own position? And we may not be sure. And it's implicit in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction that the weeds sometimes very closely resemble devotional creeper. Sometimes we may not actually be, it may be difficult to distinguish between the two. So what do we do in such a state? Well, one course is to consult an expert gardener who can distinguish between the two. And therefore it's very important for us to be able to consult. This is also, Guhyam Akyati Prichati. This is part of our loving relationships with each other, that we should have confidential friends to whom we can reveal our minds. Guhyam Akyati Prichati. Inquire confidentially. And we can ask the person, I'm seeing this in this other person, but is it there, or is it just my own envy that's making me see the person like that? Or my own pride, or hatred, or anger? And that friend can give us good advice that it may help us see it in a different way. Or he may confirm that actually, I think what you're seeing is there. And probably someone should do something about it. And so we have this, this is also one of the duties of the spiritual master and the servant of the spiritual master. Well, the servant, we look within our own hearts and see if weeds are sprouting up and pull them out. And if we see something, a phenomenon that suggests it's happening with someone else, then we should also see if it's possible to help them. And this is also a part of the society that Srila Prabhupada created, that everyone has some authority. And even at the top, there's the GBC body. So anyway, I don't want to focus on the negative too much here, but it is part of our duty, part of the king's duty, part of the leader's duty to, as required, point out the defects. And Srila Prabhupada, he did it. Although once he commented that the one thing he doesn't like about being spiritual master is that he has to correct his disciples, because they're all Vaishnavas and he doesn't like to have to chastise them. But it's a duty. He would often quote Chanakya's maxim that it's the duty of the father and the spiritual master to chastise the sons and disciples, and that will make them strong. Otherwise, if you just flatter them, they will become bad. Once, I was quite a young devotee, 2.5 years in the movement, and Srila Prabhupada made me the temple president in Juhu, which was, a tremendous responsibility, and one for which I was, from a certain point of view, prepared for and unqualified for. So there was my dear god sister Malati Dasi. She was in Juhu at the time. We had just come to the land. There was no construction, and we had, on Prabhupada's instruction, there was a pandal, and then, after the pandal program, the deities were kept in like a little shamiana, but like a homemade shamiana. Shamiana is like a small tent, just bamboo poles and some cloth. And, it was an open land, and, so for the sake of the deities, we had a brahmachari sleep there to protect the deities. So, quite unknown to me, and frankly, a lot of things were going on in Jew that were unknown to me. Malati wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter back to me, which contained more information that was unknown to me. But basically what he said in the letter was that I received a report that the deity's jewelry was stolen. Even in the presence of the brahmachari who is sleeping in front of the deities. And, this is most abominable, and you must take care of the deities, in the best possible way. And it was like a really heavy letter. And when I got that letter, my mind was reeling. I mean, as it is, it was hard, and Juhu is physically very hard, and it was India, and there were a lot of treacherous people around that we were just starting to realize. And then on top of that, that these words, this is most abominable, it was like a thunderbolt. And so so I wrote Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I appreciate what you wrote, and, you know, that I'm going to really, really struggle to keep up my enthusiasm. And, yeah, just sort of like disclosing my mind. There's no like calculation in it, no conscious calculation in it. It's just like letting him know how I received his letter. And then he wrote back that it is the duty of the spiritual master to chastise the disciple, not that he should always be praising them. And, you know, my only interest is that you, along with all of my other students, become Krishna conscious. So if you find some criticism, you know, kindly take it in that spirit. You know, it's only to help you advance in Krishna consciousness. So that helped a lot. I could understand his criticism in a larger perspective, that it was part of my training in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't just that he was upset like the jewelry was stolen, like on a managerial level, but he wanted to elevate my consciousness. And yeah, so that helped. There was another time.
What did Prabhupada write in that letter? What did Prabhupada write in that letter?
Oh, I received a report that the deity's jewelry was stolen.
That's so heavy.
Well, but he said this is most abominable. I think that was.
That's okay.
Yeah. And, anyway, it was heavy for me. So now, all right. So that was way in the beginning. You know that I came to Jew. Prabhupada was already there. You know. Then he left. He gave us certain assignments, and then he came back. You know, maybe this was maybe a year later. No, it was maybe, maybe 2 years later. Because by then we had built a story on top of the existing tenement building, so it was there. So we picked up Prabhupada from the airport, and I happened to be in the same car with him. And as he was driving on the land, he was just pointing out faults. It was like one after the other. It was like, why is that light left on? He would notice, like, if there was like a wet mark on the wall, the compound wall, he'd say, the dogs are passing water. You have to control the dogs. And we had tenants, and some of the tenants had dogs. He said, you have to control the dogs. Some of the tenants have dogs. Well, they have to keep them inside. Tell them if they come out, we're going to call the police. But anyway, that wasn't so bad. So then he saw a, because there were a lot of palm trees on the Juhu property. And then, so he saw there were some dry palm leaves on the road. And here and there, he saw someone dragging them away. And he said, someone's taking the palm leaves. I said, but Srila Prabhupada, they're already dry. And he said,
actually there was. So the system was that you would hire these, we would call them coconut llamas, I don't know what they're proper. They were like amazing. They could like climb up, you know, just with their feet, somehow they could pull themselves up. And they'd have a nut, and they'd cut down the coconuts and give us the coconuts, and we'd pay them for that. So what this man was doing is he was also cutting the dry coconut leaves and then taking them away. And I was, it just shows how, what Prabhupada had to deal with or work with. So I said, yeah, that's true, but what's the harm? They're just dry leaves. What's the harm if he takes them away? He said, well, if he sees that he can get away with the dry ones, then he might start cutting the green ones and taking them away. And then, maybe genius here, asked, well, then what's the problem if he takes away the green ones? I said, well, the whole beauty will be lost. So this was Prabhupada's arrival. You know, he was pointing out the things in the car, just driving to his quarters, and then he continued it in his room. And usually when Srila Prabhupada arrived, we had a very joyous occasion, and Prabhupada would sit and glance lovingly at all the disciples and inquire how they were doing. He was just like chiding me on all these points. And then I thought, why is Srila Prabhupada doing this in front of all the devotees? You know, I'm the temple president. How is anyone going to accept my reward if he's chastising me in front of them? And then I realized, well, I did have all this was my mind, but I had the basic conviction that Prabhupada was perfect, that whatever he did was impelled by Krishna, and it was for the ultimate good of everyone. So I did have that philosophical conviction of my mind, that like all these things were going over my mind, like, why is he, who's going to listen to me now? I mean, but then I realized that it's that Krishna consciousness has to be genuine. It's not like a position, a question of persona or posturing or pretending or like propping someone up artificially. It's just, anyway, I survived. I think that somewhere along the line I heard this saying that if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. So I did survive. Later I learned that accepting chastisement from the spiritual master is very much part of our process. Because later, like in 1976, there was a conversation with Srila Prabhupada and Juhu. And Yasamati Nandan Prabhu asked a question about, you know, like when someone is perfect, like how he behaves. And Prabhupada detected a defect in the question. And he said that someone who's perfect will never think he's perfect. As soon as you think you're perfect, you're immediately a rascal. And then he quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mora murke deki karila shashana, that my spiritual master saw me as a great fool and he chastised me. So Prabhupada said that one should be everlastingly a fool, feel himself to be a fool before the spiritual master, and be ready to be chastised by him. That will make him perfect. And if he thinks he's perfect, then, and beyond being chastised by Guru Maharaj, then he's a rascal. So we should be prepared to be chastised by the spiritual master. We should see the spiritual master acting in many ways to different persons and within the heart, especially if we have that mood, like the widow in the forest. And that is really purifying, and it will keep us on the right track. And just maybe one last little story. In 1977, Srila Prabhupada became very ill, and he was staying in Juhu. This was up until when he went to Rishikesh, and then from Rishikesh to Vrindavan at the end. And so he had His Holiness Navagendra Swami was serving him. And I forget the details of the incident, but I think what happened was that he brought in Prabhupada's plate late. And Prabhupada really chastised him. And Navagendra Swami said to Srila Prabhupada, "You know, when you become angry and chastise us like this, you get so bewildered, we don't even know what to think or how to feel." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "You should feel jubilant." There are so many people loitering in the street. They have no one to correct them if they make a mistake. But you should feel jubilant. You have your master who cares for you, and if you make a mistake, he tells you. So, I guess there's different varieties of jubilation. But on a certain level, we should feel jubilant. Yes, I have my master, he cares for me, and if I make a mistake, he will correct me, and that is out of his love and care for me. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments or chastisement? Yes, we got it.
In the first word, Prabhupada said a king should also
be strict in chastising the atheists. So I was wondering how a Krishna conscious governor would chastise the atheists.
Well, on one morning walk in Juhu, as we were walking back from the beach, Srila Prabhupada said that if we capture the government, we will go door to door and tell people chant Hare Krishna. And if you don't agree to chant, we will kill you. So when Prabhupada said that, sort of like here, everyone started laughing, except me. Then Prabhupada looked at me and said, "What do you think, Giriraj?" And then he said to the others, "Our Giriraj is non-violent." And then I also laughed. But I think Srila Prabhupada said things that were meant to sort of fire us up, but not necessarily to be taken literally. What Srila Prabhupada said that might be more to the point in Pune, actually, when we went for this. Oh, no, no. Maybe Wardha. But anyway. He said that whenever there's prohibition, immediately there's black market. So he said prohibition is not the... Prohibition alone is not the solution. Along with prohibition, there has to be education. Even in America, they have that period of prohibition. So immediately there was black market. Even in India, there have been efforts, and there's always black market. So he said there has to be education. So that people understand why they should avoid, say, alcohol or whatever the prohibition is. And a process of purification of heart. That said, when one really is a king, like Maharaj Pritha or Maharaj Pariksha, he actually has to... if their atheism takes the form of sinful activities that are beyond what is tolerable, then they have to be punished. Like Kali, personality of Kali, he was, attacking, a cow, this creature. And so King Pariksit was ready to kill him. So on that level, there are laws and there is punishment. Crime and punishment. But as far as just you're talking about the atheistic mentality, how we deal with it.
Yeah. Just an atheist, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, that answer is, I would say, set by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu in relation to Jagaya Madhai. How Prabhupada said that in previous ages, Krishna would kill the demons, but in Kali Yuga he kills the demonic mentality. So, although there is one purport, Prabhupada comments on this function of Krishna to preach in our sadhana, the Shaishi. He says that something like the member of the Krishna consciousness movement should become expert in killing demons. So, Kalanananda Swami, can you shed some light on this question? What does it mean?
Well, I think you've already shed light on the question, but Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Asatyam apratishtante jagat ahoranishvaram aparajbram sambhudyam kimanyakamahayutam. He defines what an atheist is. He says that they say that this world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control, it produces sex desire and has no cause other than God. Then he says, a tantric scheme of Ashtabya, Ashtabya and Abudya, Gaya Kamas, Anima, Gaya Jagatolita. Following such conclusions, and offer themselves to divine and create horrible, undemonstrated works which are meant to destroy the world. So generally we don't find atheists just twiddling their thumbs being atheists. They're engaged in, Krishna said, horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So, as soon as they engage in horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world, then the representatives of Krishna have to do something to stop them. As long as they just twiddle their thumbs, and the atheistic propensity, then we can watch them twiddle their thumbs until they do something.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to say. You said Krishna said it better. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
Curiosity. How did those jewels get stolen if the Brahmacharya was sitting
there?
You were
the sound speaker.
Well, we don't know. But on the subject of being oblivious, I'll tell another. Well, there's so many, but I just want to sort of instruct you. We were in Jerusalem. Srila Prabhupada had gone to Nairobi. And in Nairobi, he wasn't eating. And Brahmananda Prabhu asked him, Srila Prabhupada, you're not eating much. And Prabhupada replied, how can I eat when my property is being stolen? So it turns out that in Juhu there was a collusion between the storekeeper and the site supervisor. I think they were brother-in-laws, and the neighbor. And so the storekeeper, I guess when it was dark or whatever, he would like throw cement bags over the wall into the next door neighbor's property. And maybe other people. And so another neighbor knew this was happening. That neighbor was very favorable. That neighbor wrote to Srila Prabhupada in Nairobi. Prabhupada knew what was going on while he was in Nairobi. And we were in Juhu, and we had no clue. then he came, and then he intervened, Prabhupada. He said, we have to get rid of the storekeeper and the supervisor, the brother, two brothers-in-law. Yeah, he was really, he did whatever was needed for Krishna's service. There was no distinction, like, this is beneath my dignity, or I'm too holy, whatever was necessary for Krishna's service. Like the gopis, with no consideration, whatever will cure Krishna's headache. Did you have a question or comment? Question. What is your good name? Mahavishnu.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you for your class. My question is, when you said that the spiritual master's duty, one of his duties is to chastise the disciples sometimes. So, us as managers or temple presidents, sometimes we also have to correct the devotees, which is high devotees. So So where we stand when we do that, we are not spiritual masters.
Well, you know, anyone in a position of authority is like a shiksha guru is meant to be, a spiritual master. So you may have to do that. But I again mentioned Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instruction that if one, one should not speak about others, and that includes to someone about the person itself, while under the influence of impediments like pride, envy, hatred, or distinction. And it may be better for you and for the person it depends on the purity of your heart. I mean, if your heart is clean and if it's required, you could try to correct them on the spot. But if you feel you might be influenced by false ego, then you don't want to try to correct the person when you're under the influence of false ego. So it might be good to wait and sort of, whatever, chant, pray, maybe consult some senior about how to deal with the situation, so that when you do deal with it, it's effective. Because if you're under, influenced by any of your pride, the other person can detect it, and then that will weaken the effectiveness. And another thing Srila Prabhupada said is that if criticism is offered with sympathy, it's more likely to be accepted. So the mood should be good, and the content should be good. And pray. Pray to Krishna to guide you. Depending on the situation, maybe pray to Krishna in the heart of the other person to help the other person accept what's good for the person. And chant sincerely before and after. Okay, last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My name is Nityananda Fry Das.
Oh! I know you.
Yes,
changing bodies.
Yes,
I've also changed.
I want to express my gratitude for your class this morning. I really felt a lot of chanting in my heart, especially when you're talking about the guru-disciple relationship. I'm going to change the hat and think of the temple president in general, not necessarily my case, but in general as a temple president. And you were describing how when you were temple president, Prabhupada came and in the car ride, it was pointing, let's say, different things, and it continued even in the room. Now in the current context, there's a GBC in the temple's residence, and I wouldn't say that in all cases the relationship is also like, oh, this is Srila Prabhupada's representative, or so it creates some sort of there might be friction in terms of a temple president might feel that the GBC may be micromanaging, or it's still not clear, but I hope you get the drift of my question. So in such scenarios, how would you suggest either a temple president or for the matter of a GBC look at the situation or deal with it?
That is a very good question. The Yeah. We need to clarify what these relationships are meant to be. So that, because the GBC has his function, the temple president has his function, and there should be cooperation and synergy. But it will work better if people don't sort of intrude into another person's area of jurisdiction. And I suppose these things are in the process of being clarified. I mean, I had a case myself when I've had difficulty with my GBC. And I wrote Srila Prabhupada. Not complaining, but I was confused. I was actually confused. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, you know, GBC does not mean to control a temple. GBC means to see that things are going nicely. And then he said that, you know, we're still in the experimental stage. So these things need to be clarified in Mayapur. And then he said, but it is not a fact that the temple president is, in that sense, under the control of the GBC. That is not in the GBC's jurisdiction. So I think that the idea is that it should be clarified. So we know what our areas of jurisdiction are, and we work within them. Like courts, they have different areas of jurisdiction. It's clear whose jurisdiction is this under. And yeah. Hare Krishna. All right, thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.